Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the first Sunday in Lent always drops us into the reality of life. There are plenty of trials and temptations in this world. And so for those competing in the Winter Olympics this year, their trials come with having to endure qualification races. And of course, as you know, if they make it through that, they finally have to run a good enough win to have the gold. Their temptations, of course, to despair come from crashes on the ski slopes they weren't projecting to have. It comes with wipeouts on the ice that maybe mess them up dramatically, or a simple slip that sends them right to the ground. Trials bring forth utter shock to those who win, while those that lose are tempted to finally ask, what was all these years and sacrifice and practicing for if I didn't get the gold? That's why a recent thing just said that those who win bronze actually tend to be happier than those who win silver. The first Sunday in Lent always drops us into an even deeper reality about life. There are trials and temptations that go to the very heart of being a Christian. You're just not going to get around it. James was the brother of Jesus, and he wrote the letter you heard today. It's the first letter in the New Testament to the church. His opening words set the tone, saying in verse 2 of chapter 1, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for when you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Now, everybody in some way talks about troubles in life, right? We talk about all the time, with the trouble of the weather, the troubles of money, my health, relationship problems, you name it. But just as few, though, talk at all about their temptations, don't they? Fearing what other people are going to think if they know what I'm tempted with. But we all have temptations, each and every one of us. James provides the answer that's good for all times. Since Jesus passed God's test resisting the devil, we can turn to him no matter the trials or even temptations. So trials turn to strengthen any who love Jesus. God uses testing in life, and he puts it to good use. James tells us the purpose. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Nothing worthwhile comes easy. And so to increase endurance in Christians, God brings all kinds of trials. You know what conditioning is, right? Conditioning means you have to kind of go through the rigor of things to get to a better place of where you've been. And that's what God does with trials in life. This follows in the way of Christ, who after his baptism, you know what happened to him. He was driven right into the wilderness by the Spirit to face the devil. Rather than drive you away by suffering, though, God doesn't wish you to have to be driven away by that kind of stuff. The goal of God promises to sustain any with faith that draws us closer to Jesus. And that's what many fail to see today. When we go through trials, God's not turning his face away from you. He's turning you to the face of Jesus. The Father's love sent his Son to endure all things. 40 days in the wilderness is only a glimpse of the satanic attack Jesus faced that would finally end at the cross. His whole ministry was one demonic attack, one trial after another against the tempter, Satan. God did this to prove there was no easy path or cheat sheet to our salvation. Simply the perfect obedience of Jesus. Success is not to escape suffering. We might think that today in our society, but that's not the truth. It is to love how Jesus sustains us, to trust him, for even now he shares in all our troubles. So you can tell me whatever trouble you have, and I can tell you to look to Jesus, because he is the Lord of suffering. Whenever trials trip us up, we can turn to the one who wore the crown of thorns. For the crown of life is your blessing, being baptized into his name. And so, trials are pretty easy to understand. God uses them to build up faith. Temptations turn any inward to have no love for God. If God uses trials to strengthen Christians, then temptations come to do just the opposite, to take away faith in Jesus, to destroy it. Rather than to be steadfast, it is when we let evil consume us. And then on top of being consumed by evil, we blame God for not caring at the very same time. James tells us the true answer. He says God tempts nobody. He can't be tempted by evil. James tells us the truth. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. And do not think this is about death of the flesh. Someday I'm going to die at this age. This is death of the spirit. This is death that you no longer believe in God. This is the death that Adam and Eve had in the garden. Because once sin was conceived, it brought forth death. And who did they accuse in the garden? Adam accused God. You gave me this wife, and she put me here to now have to suffer the fact that I was tempted by the devil. You see? The devil and the world are the external motivators outside of us that are constantly tempting. But when falling into temptation, when we get into that mess, and we all do, but when we do, the only person to blame is who? Me. Luther warns us, if you try to help yourselves by your own thoughts and counsel, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil more space. Jesus was put in the worst temptations because he would not turn inward at any time to his own selfish desires. The devil tried to bring Jesus to the easy answer in the wilderness. The easy answer was not to go to the cross, was not to be the suffering servant. Yet while feeling every temptation, even to come down from the cross, right? Never once did Jesus give over to it at all when he easily could have come down from the cross. He was without sin, so that where we fail, only to have guilt and shame and with temptations in life, Jesus would succeed to suffer and die for us, to take away guilt and shame. This means that Satan and the world bring temptations. But here's the good news. God can even use them to strengthen faith in his Son. He can take those things that truly we put ourselves into, willfully. And God can turn us back to his Son. Because he does not turn his back on you. And so the word of truth is what turns with love to us. Rather than a thing in creation, the ultimate good and perfect gift from above is not your fields, and it's not your families. The good and perfect gift from above is not anything but who? Jesus, God's Son, our Savior. He does not change, whether or not everything else does change, because the Father has sent his Son out of love for our salvation. God's gift is that Jesus keeps giving so that his forgiveness has the last say and not our foolish failures into sin. And this is why we come into church every Sunday. We confess our sins and Jesus tells you, I forgive you all your sins. Get back out there. Go live life through trials and temptations, but he gives you forgiveness again today. Rather than being our will as the source of strength, Jesus says, of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Do you see how small our will is to choose Jesus? It isn't that big of a deal to God. He's chosen us. Baptism burst down the walls that kept us from God and exchanged death for your life in Christ. And that's a life that is pure, forgiven, and perfect before God. Even before you even started doing stuff. Whether trials or temptations, in this wilderness of life, you are the first fruits redeemed by Christ. Since Jesus went through the cross, we have what we need from him who has risen from the dead. And so Lent is never this valley of sorrow that's not always looking up to what? Going up to the Mount of Calvary, where Jesus will conquer the devil and celebrate the joy of Easter. Lent is never about the better promise that God loves sinners. His word of life is able to receive and restore the broken. And Jesus directs us all in truth against evil. And there was evil this week at schools, right? Of a shooting. And all we can run to is our works and our law. What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? And the answer is repent. First, turn to the fact is that in the New Testament, when things happened, bad things, Jesus said, very first and foremost, repent. Because the truth is our life is in Christ. And how are we going to get through all the evil? We have to follow him. Whatever the trials, Christ cleared out the path by his cross, so a crown of life is ours against the world and against a world that is saturated in death and deep sadness. This is the only way we're going to get through these trials as a nation or as a people. We need Jesus. My deepest heartache isn't the shooting. My deepest heartache is to know that if these people, when they died, whoever who died, young or old, doesn't matter. Did they know Jesus and him crucified? Did they in their darkest hour know that God does not shut the door, but given his life as a ransom for many? When temptations consume us, Christ brings sympathy. He knows our pains and sorrows, and he is present at the Lord's Supper with his kingdom for the weary. And that is what we are. In the wilderness of a world that indeed is ransacked with so many problems, and yet we have the greatest strength for the weary to take and eat and drink from him who is the king and the one who brings his kingdom that has not failed and will be victorious. The trials and temptations for Christians are far better than the Olympics. Jesus made the perfect offering by his cross that has crushed every opposition. And so we can turn to him no matter the trials or temptations, and they're going to be different for everybody. Just in the few people here today, they're all different for each of us. Even different between husband and wife. Even different between a brother and a sister. But it's always to turn us to who? Jesus. Our trials are never outside of his triumph by the cross. Our temptations, never ignored because of his love. Since grace endures from God, we endure in Christ. And the crown of life is what he brings. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.